Welcome to the show. I'm your coach, Elizabeth Pearson, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy today's chat. It's with Stephanie Gottlieb. She is the diamond darling of Instagram. She's also a go-to for anybody who's thinking about getting engaged. I feel like she is somebody who really takes a lot of precision and care in all of the jewelry pieces she makes. But as I said, you guys might know her best from Instagram. She's an influencer. She has a huge following. But she's also somebody who's become a very good friend of mine over the last year. And I got to learn so much more about her, that she has this fabulous lifestyle, right? I think sometimes we see influencers on Instagram and we think, is that really what's going on in their life? Are they really that fabulous? And I can vouch that, yes, she is. She is a New York socialite. She's going out almost every night in wonderful designer outfits. But at the same time, she's also a really hardworking entrepreneur, and she's a mom of two little kids. And in today's chat, we talk about, is there a way to juggle that all? If so, how? And if one ball has to drop, is there a way to kind of rotate when it happens and make sure that everybody's feeling all of the love from you and that you're actually making time for yourself? That's a big piece, I think, of Stephanie's journey, is getting to this place of deep knowing and understanding that when she serves herself first, it actually makes everybody around her and everything around her so much better. So I hope you enjoy our chat. Be sure to follow her on Instagram. It's not just all, you know, fabulous parties. She gives a really great education on diamonds and jewelry and how to pick out stones and how to design them and make them custom. So it's a great chat. Follow her on Instagram. Check her out, stephaniegottlieb.com. Hope you enjoy. Stephanie Gottlieb, it's so great to have you here chatting today. I think that when a lot of people think about what it looks like to be an entrepreneur, they see this just wonderful pie chart or this graph, and it just goes straight up. And there's no bumps, there's no bruises along the way. And it's just like this wonderful, exciting experience. And so I thought it would be great today to not only talk about your journey in entrepreneurship, but also a couple of other key things that can influence the success of a business, one of them being motherhood. It's so interesting. Lily Allen just came out a couple of days ago and was quoted as saying her career suffered because she was a mom. I would love to get your insight on that as well. And then just talk about how women can navigate those dicey waters of entrepreneurship and ultimately maintain faith in themselves. So thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you for having me. That's a lot to digest.
Let's start by like how you started. So as far as having this dream, was it always this dream of entrepreneurship? Did you always want to do your own thing? Or was that something that just organically surfaced once you were in the workforce?
I think that it's something that was probably always in me, and I just didn't know it until I was working for somebody else and going through the motions and coming up against the same hurdles every single time, you know, not having the authority to make certain decisions and not feeling like it was completely authentically me, what I was doing on the day to day. I just kept coming, you know, bumping into this same wall. And at some point I said, well, I could leave and just go do this for somebody else and probably have maybe not the same concerns, but others, you know, or I can try and do something on my own and have that authority to make decisions, do things that feel right for me, control my own schedule, control who I work with and how I work. And inevitably, that was the decision that I made. I certainly didn't consider myself an entrepreneur when I made that decision. I just felt like I was taking a leap to try something different, and knowing that I wasn't going to have the guidance of somebody else, or rather the oversight of somebody else. So entrepreneur was certainly not a word that I would have used to define myself when I started this almost 11 years ago. At this point, I certainly think that it's the best word to define where I'm at and where I've been, but I didn't leave with the intention of building a business and, you know, hiring all these people. I really was just leaning into what felt right in that moment. And it was, of course, the hardest decision to make, but it felt like the right decision at that time.
So the timeline, I want to ask you a couple of things. Was there somebody who was definitely like a cheerleader? Like, yep, you can totally do this. I got your back. Was there a naysayer? And also the timeline, I know you've got two small children. Did the thought of like, I want to become a mother at some point ever come in and potentially give you pause?
Okay. So this was the year that I got married. It was a couple months later. I had taken my honeymoon and I came back, and maybe it was having that clarity 3 weeks off from work. and I said, like, well, that was really nice. Or maybe it was just the right time. I had been at the company I was with for 5 years and felt like I was ready for a promotion, or at least, you know, a change up, an acknowledgement in, you know, pay grade. And I didn't get what I asked for. And that was an opportunity for me to say, like, okay, you can stay and stay at the salary that they think you're worth, or you can leave because you think you're worth more. And I really did go back and forth. I had cheerleaders. My family was behind me. My husband was behind me. Everyone else believed in me. I think I was the only naysayer because I knew how scary it was going to be to try to do something new. I wasn't entirely sure what I wanted to do. So I knew this was going to be a journey to, you know, figuring that out. I didn't have a plan. So I was the naysayer. I was the one holding myself back, but I did take the leap. I think it was much easier for me to do at that time. This was before kids. So I didn't have dependables in the same way. I wasn't really tied to a salary in the same way. I had the ability and the freedom to make a decision that was just going to affect me, essentially. And so I did. You know, I think having people who support you is a huge piece of that. I had my family around me. I took the summer off. I gave myself 2 months. I said, either you're going to start something new by the end of the summer, or you're going to go find a new job, because I didn't want to sit around. I wasn't ready to have kids yet. I had just gotten married. And, you know, I took 2 months to figure that out. I went and interviewed with other companies. I worked, you know, I took a day rate and worked at trade shows with other jewelry companies just to see, like, do I want to do this again for somebody else? Was it my boss, or was it the setup? And quickly realized that I didn't want to start over at another company. That just wasn't it. That wasn't going to make me happy or feel fulfilled. So I spent that entire summer researching and figuring out how to build a website and, you know, looking for freelance artists or graphic designers who would help me with a logo. And I had my friend come visit me in August, and I was all summer, I had been doodling in a notebook, like possible names for my brand. And I couldn't come up with anything that felt right. It all felt really forced or cheesy. And it just, like, nothing was sticking. And she's like, why don't you just use your name? And I was like, Stephanie Lusky? She's like, no, you just got married. You have a new name. And I was like, well, definitely that would make my husband happy. It's a good way for me to remember my new name, because at that point I was still in, like, the Lusky headspace. And so that's what I did. You know, my grandpa was definitely not on board with that. He would have wanted anything entrepreneurial or creative to be tied to Lusky. But,
well, I want to, can I ask you about that? Because it's so funny, because I mentioned that I was talking with my husband, Ryan, the other day, and I told him that, you know, you were coming on the show, and I was very excited. And it's really interesting, when I was getting ready to, I mean, mine is Elizabeth Pearson Coaching, right? Which is not my maiden name. It's Elizabeth Sachs. And then my book title, you know, all of, like, with my name. And at one point, my editor said, like, is this the name you want to use? Because you could use a pen name or whatever. And I had this moment. It was a little heartbreaking, because I'm Elizabeth Sachs. You know what I mean? Like, Pearson is his name. And as a diehard feminist, I thought, is this really antiquated? Like, am I building a brand for my husband's family when that's not really my identity? So I was telling him, I go, oh, I have to ask Stephanie that too. Like, was there ever this twinge of, like, not because you think you're going to get a divorce or anything, but just the legacy of, like, your maiden
name.
There
was a little bit of it, only because my grandfather himself was such an entrepreneur and such a creative. And so I could feel his energy saying, like, you're a Lusky. But you know what? I hadn't changed my name on my passport at that time. I had all of those things to do. And I don't think there were those services, like the Mrs. service that helps you, you know, check all the boxes, change your IDs and things like that. And I was like, okay, if one thing is going to force me to do the paperwork and take that next step, it's naming the business after my new identity. And so I did. And I don't regret it. I mean, listen, I'm hoping that this is a family business and there's a legacy here for my daughter Goldie to come into one day. And so as a Gottlieb, she would be, you know, rightfully the next one in line.
But what if she gets married and starts her own company and then changes it?
And she
might,
you know,
and that's, I mean, it's, we have the choice, right? And I think it's like, you likely would have been supported by Brett and your Gottlieb family anyway you went. And like, that's the piece that I've made with it too, is like, it's, I'm not building his name. I'm building my family unit's name, right? It's like, you're building it for Jordan and Goldie and Brett. Like this is, it's not ancestors.
I think I also went through like the practicality of Lusky is a harder name to read. People don't know how to pronounce it. I was always being, you know, called Lusky, and it's just a harder name to wrap your head around. There happened to be a lot of Gottliebs in the jewelry industry. So I always get that question like, oh, is that your dad? Is this so-and-so? I'm like, no, actually I'm first generation jewelry Gottlieb here. Yeah.
I love it. I wonder too. So the timeline, I think that it's so great when you said I went and interviewed or I did like hourly work just to make sure. And I think that's where women get stuck. Is like they go to do that. And then the mountain that they know they're going to have to climb to start their own business just feels like it's too high. And so we just hold out hope that we'll just get a new job. And even if it's 10% better, that will be good enough. So I think you had a real, you know, sliding doors moment of like, am I going to do this? Or am I going to risk it all and start my own thing? Do you ever fantasize though about like just working for somebody else? Like on the days sometimes that are hard?
Yes. There are definitely days where I'm like, wouldn't it be nice to leave at 6 o'clock and not check back in until 9 tomorrow morning? Wouldn't that be nice? Or, you know, it's just everything rests on you when it's your business and that's what you've signed up for. I think 11 years later, I have a little more peace of mind because I've started to build out what feels like a really solid foundation in my team. But it took a really long time to get here. And truly only in the last year, as I hired a brand president to support me commercially, have I felt like I could breathe a little bit, knowing that someone else is looking at every number and making sure that this thing isn't going down. So it takes a long time to feel secure in it.
How do you deal with all the pressure? Because you are the name, the face, there is a huge social media component to your business. If you guys aren't following her yet on Instagram, I highly recommend it. But I also feel like being a mom, being so visible, you're very involved in New York City social scene, like you're out there. And I feel like even when I watch you, your stories, it's like every night there's something else. And then every day there's something. How do you manage that pressure?
Not well, I would say I do my best. I think there's always pressure, whether you are, you know, the CEO of the company or a managerial level, there's a level of pressure if you want to be excellent. I think I've always had really high standards for myself. And so even in my last role, I would stay up until midnight answering emails because I chose to do that. Nobody was holding me to that standard. Nobody was giving me a bonus because I did that. That's just me. And that's really what told me that I should be doing it for myself. If I'm going to be staying up all hours of the night and putting in this much passion and time, I should be reaping the benefits. And so I don't think there's any great way to avoid pressure. I think there are things you can do to alleviate it, like, you know, finding peers who are in a similar space as you. It doesn't have to be the same business, but it can be, you know, they're at a similar place in their business, or they have gone through similar ups and downs and can, you know, coach you through what they did. Having an outlet to talk through those moments, whether it's a professional or just a peer, can be really helpful. And more so someone who's not in your inner circle, someone who doesn't have, you know, a perspective on what you're doing. You want someone who's more neutral, I think. So, you know, even going to dinner with other people who are building businesses or who just launched a product and kind of hearing what their grievances are, I think all of that helps bring things back to earth for you. Yeah. Like you're not the only one doing this and everything will work out and it will be okay. And that helps.
I think a lot of people are building the airplane as it's taking off, you know, and nobody talks about that as much. It's this polished, confident exterior, especially on social media. But that's what I love too, is to be able to say like, hey, this wasn't always like this. This wasn't easy. Right. There have been speed bumps I've hit. There have been times I've doubted myself, because then it can reduce some of the pressure for other people who are trying. They're like, oh, well, she did it. I'm just going to follow her path. And then you get on and it's like, okay, why isn't it as easy for me? And it's like, well, it wasn't easy for her either, but maybe it's just not been advertised that way.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the kids if we can. So you're growing this business. This is like your first baby, right? This is like infancy. It's totally dependent on you, like a newborn. And then you decide to have children. What were the after effects of that on the business?
I don't think there were any great effects on the business, but on me personally. You know, I was in labor 1 minute and then back on my cell phone minutes later answering an email. And again, kind of a personal choice. Like, I am someone who has a really hard time shutting down. I have learned, as my children have become people who need my attention and whom I want to give my attention to, undivided attention, I've learned ways to separate a little bit and put the phone down at 6 o'clock and come back after dinner. And, you know, only recently, like, don't even open the computer at nighttime. So it's taken time, baby steps for sure. But initially, like, I jumped right back in with both pregnancies because work is what makes me go. Like, really, at the end of the day, I need it to feel like me. So it's just another, it is one of my children. I just have to juggle it the same way that I do with the other two.
I think that's what people need to understand too, is like, starting a business is 100% another child. Just like with a child, your heart is never fully just yours anymore. You're always distracted. You're always wondering if they're having a good day at school. You're always, it's the same thing with the business. It's like, okay, how is it? How are the clients? How are the customers? Your focus is divided now even more so. And I think at least with a traditional job, like, I used to be able to go on vacation and be like, screw it. If they call me, I'm not here, you know? And you just never have that anymore. It's similar to, like, you have a kid. It's so funny. Ryan and I took a trip to Paris before I got pregnant with Delilah. And I looked at him and I go, this is the last one we're going to have where we just don't give any fucks about what's happening at home. Like, it's just done. This is an end. And I didn't realize that's what I was getting into when I started a business as well. It was like, oh, wait, now there's this other thing. So are you able to compartmentalize it when you're away? I know that you get to go to some fabulous places for design research and all of the stuff. You were in Africa with De Beers and all of the stuff. Were you able to be present, or is your focus always fractured?
No, my focus is fractured. It's really hard for me to separate. I also, when I'm not in my office, when I'm in where whatever beautiful destination, that's when I feel the most inspired. That's when I want to be on social media sharing and creating beautiful content. And so as a content creator slash business owner, that's another layer of challenge that I have, is that I do feel this pressure to always be on. And, you know, that can be all consuming. And I, again, like, over time, I've built a small team around me. I have other people who can support. So I'm not literally glued to my phone, which I was for a very long time. But I still feel this odd responsibility to the community I've built. I feel like they're waiting for it and expecting it. And maybe they're not. Maybe that's just built in my head. But I, you know, if I miss a day, it feels like the world is going to end. So
yeah. It's like, you got to feed the beast. It feels like that. And from other people that I talk to who are, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers, it's like, okay, what have you done for me lately? Right. It's just like, now, like, that was 15 minutes ago. What's next? And it's this constant pressure of like, should I be posting this? Should I be filming this? How does Brett, your husband, deal with the social media component? Is he on board? Is he down to be the photographer and the videographer sometimes? Or has that ever been a point of contention when you're on vacation? Yeah.
He loves it. He loves taking the content. I mean, it has to be on his schedule too. If he's relaxing or wants to go for a swim, we're not taking the picture right now. And we've gotten into a pattern of like, I make it be the first thing in the day. So I feel like I can't breathe until it's done. Like, I feel like I have this big cloud over my head until the pictures are taken, and then I can enjoy my day. And it's really, it's quite disabling, you know, but he loves it. I built my business this way. I mean, truly, without social media, it would not be what it is. And I started in 2013. That's when all of this really started to happen on social media. So I had 8 solid years where that was the sole driver of my business. And he knows that. And he's seen the success. So he's totally on board.
Do you ever fantasize about a day where you don't have to post? I know it's like a love hate.
Yes, I do. I have friends who like delete the app, and I'm like, wow, what's that like?
I feel like that sometimes too. Yeah. I'm not in anywhere near where you are, but I feel that way too. And the worst is like when you get with somebody and maybe we all have those friends who like just aren't really on social media, and they'll be like, well, I don't want to be out there. Like, look at me. And I feel like, okay, well, why are you saying that? You know, are you trying to say something to me? It's like, I don't want to be out there. I feel like all of us collectively don't love it or the pressure all the time. But I also think that there is this way of being of service to others. Like, so much of your content is educational, specifically on gems and diamonds, like how to pick it out. I love the tutorials of like, here is one with this grading versus a 2.5 carat with this grading. And like, here's what they look like. So I don't think it's all just like, hey, look at me and my fabulous life. I think that there is an act of service. Like, the majority of your content is an educational piece. Would you agree?
I do. I mean, listen, it's serving up a lifestyle. I sell jewelry. I'm not doing, you know, research to save humanity. Like, that's just not what I do. It is a fluffy business, but I'm selling a lifestyle. And what comes along with jewelry are, you know, celebrating sentimental life milestones. And that's why I do it. I mean, I remember when Brett gave me certain pieces and what that commemorates. And I have my son and daughter's birthdays. And, you know, all of that is really meaningful to people. And I get to be a part of a proposal. What could be a more special moment in someone's life than that? So as fluffy as it is, and I remember at the beginning of COVID, people were, you know, coming after me for how could I possibly be posting diamonds when, you know, this pandemic is happening. And then I have the other side who are saying, thank God you're posting,
because
that's the only thing that's giving me any hope right now and making me happy for a couple of minutes. And that's what this is about. It's bringing people joy in some small way. And the social media is just part of it. It's a way for me to build community. And so, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. And I love that you said that. I feel like it can feel like cotton candy a little bit, right? When we're being spoon fed really hard vegetables all day long of like, this is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. But even when Taylor Swift wore your necklace to the Super Bowl, that was so fun to see. That had to be really exciting.
It was. That was a huge moment that, you know, as I went into this year, I felt like I needed that. The end of last year was really hard, not on the business, but on me as a founder, bringing on so many new people and having so much transition all happen in a really short amount of time. There were huge decisions being made, and that left me feeling pretty low at the end of the year. So to start the year on such a high was just like, that was the sign I needed to be like, okay, 2024, like, here we go.
Yeah. And then Sydney Sweeney, right, on SNL. I saw that and I thought, I bet that's one of Stephanie's. And it was so funny. My husband, too, who like does not know diamonds, was like, I wonder if that's one of Stephanie's. And I was like, and then you posted on it. I'm like, oh, my God, it is. So I do feel like there are all of these influencers and celebrities who are likely wearing your stuff. I mean, and even like every Today Show anchor is wearing the heart. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there is a connection there. And I think it's really important to support women in this industry, because I have to assume it's another male dominated industry. And at least with you, I always know that like it's being sourced ethically. Even the donation piece with the Star of David necklaces that are going out, like there is some thoughtfulness behind it. And so is that another piece that's a driver, knowing that not only can you be, you know, a role model or kind of like a light to other people who might be wanting to get in, but then also have this societal kind of piece to be able to support charities.
Yeah. I mean, when I think about the business and the haters, we'll call them, and the people who say like, everything you do is superficial and jewelry isn't important and there are bigger things happening in the world. Like, frankly, the business is the reason I've been able to donate hundreds of thousands of dollars to charity and to helping people. So sure, you know, hopefully one day I can write that check out of my pocket, and I will. But in the meantime, the business allows me to do that. It's a platform for me to share what's important to me. And so I use it that way. And I think that's really powerful and impactful. And I know that the community cares because they tell me.
Well, and not only that, it's like you're raising awareness for the charitable organizations. It's like, yes, you're writing the checks, but then it's like, I don't know. I think people that take time out of their day to criticize the way somebody else is living, a lot of times they're probably just a little jealous. But how do you handle haters? Do you read all the comments, or at some point do you just have to disconnect?
I have found ways to avoid them, whether it's, you know, blocking certain words or whatever it is. I try really hard not to engage, because it's a slippery slope. And once you're in it, it's really hard to break out.
So I have to ask about your daughter, Goldie. As she grows, do you think you're going to secretly hope she does her own thing? Or would you be okay with her going to work for like a large corporation?
I think someone asked me this the other day, like, what would you hope for Goldie in the future?
Yeah.
I hope she finds something that she loves as much as I love what I do. And that can be whatever it is. It really doesn't matter to me as long as she is happy. Like I've watched this, you know, I have two siblings and my parents are now have three grown children who have their own lives and families. I think it's really hard when one of your, of course, when your little kids are unhappy, that's hard on a mother. But when you're grown and, you know, you want to see your kids fly and maybe one of them isn't, I think that can be almost harder because you feel like you sort of failed them. Like you wanted to set them up for success in their adult lives. Yeah. So I just want my kids to find things that make them happy and pursue them.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, one last question. Do you have any last words or closing advice to somebody who might be listening to this and maybe they have an idea for a business, but it just seems like nobody would understand, nobody would get it, or it's just way too competitive. The field is too crowded out there.
I think there is some validity to those feelings. Like there probably is a lot of competition and it's not going to be easy. You really do have to know what you're getting into if you're trying to do something on your own. So, you know, I'm not saying that to discourage anybody, but I think you have to be realistic when you're making this kind of decision that it's not going to be all rainbows and butterflies. Like there are going to be dark days. There are going to be really hard days. And worst case scenario, it actually may not work. Like it might not. So if you know that and you can still build yourself up to do it anyway, I think that gives you a really good shot at succeeding. I think it's like that balance of not having this eternal optimism and knowing that it's not just going to be so easy. It would be lovely. I hope it is for whomever is out there wanting to start something. But I think you have to have a lot of passion and drive. You have to really believe in it. If you believe in it, then you can get other people behind you to also believe in it. And that's what I think I've done here is, you know, I built a team of women who saw my vision and wanted to be a part of that.
Yeah. It's so great to surround yourself with support. It's like the baby metaphor. It's like being pregnant sucks. The labor really sucks. And then when they're it's all hard, but there is this wonderful upside. And I love being able to say that nobody's going to tell me how much I'm worth, right? And for you, it's like nobody is going to decide whether or not you are worthy of a raise or promotion or good enough. And I just hope women step into that power a little more. And to your point, worst case scenario, it doesn't work out, but then you really lessen the potential of future regret, right? At least you tried. So that's kind of like, what's going to hurt more? Losing some money or feeling like you didn't believe in yourself enough. Thank you, Stephanie, for this time. Everybody check out stephaniegottlieb.com and also on Instagram. You have so many beautiful pieces. I'm a hoop girl, so I love a good hoop. You've got some really cool like electric hoops. I mean, there's amazing stuff there, but I like it because I feel like there's different price points for everybody, but it's a wonderful brand. It's ethically sourced and the quality is unmatched. So thank you so much for sharing with us today, Stephanie, and we'll see you on Instagram.
Thank you for having me.